Tattoos, henna, piercing, all forms of body art. These are art forms, but what if that art could also tell you where the person is from in the world? Ritual scarring is common in many African tribes, and soon it could help many African descendants figure out where their families came from. Researchers are delving into archives for clues, archives that some former colonial countries are struggling to maintain. Here's the world's Rupa Shenoy.
Abu Kuroma is the archivist in training at the National Archives of Sierra Leone. He'll remain the archivist in training until one of the two senior archivists retire.
Yeah, that is it. That is how it is done.
When Kuroma started at the archives in 2004, Sierra Leone was emerging from civil war. He was fresh out of high school, and his parents had died, so he needed the small salary badly. And Kuroma was fascinated by the archives. They date back to 1788 and the first treaty regional leaders made with British colonists.
Most times when I'm in the archives alone, I decided that, oh, one day I want to be a professor, then I would start writing books.
The archives spanned the years when Africans were forced into slavery and of the era afterward. Colonial administrators filled books with careful descriptions of each enslaved African who was liberated.
Sometimes the handwritten are so bad.
Some descriptions hint at scary, intriguing stories, like how all the women in one ship had burn marks on their breasts. Kuroma doesn't see those stories in any history books.
We have read books, and we have not seen the original things. When they come to the archives, they see the original text, people become amazed.
Amazed at the sheer amount of information. In his 15 years at the archives, Abu Kuroma says he's received a lot of visitors, academics and researchers from Europe and North America.
So much of them, they were coming.
More and more of them every year, rushing to catch up with history. Researchers realized technology had become cheap and accessible enough to digitize documents and put information into databases. There was one basic question researchers wanted to answer first. For a long time, historians have struggled to estimate the size of the transatlantic slave trade. So the first big database researchers finished revealed an answer. It's estimated that at least 12.5 million people were abducted from Africa and sold as slaves. As many as 10.7 million survived.
Inevitably, if you're descended from one of the 10.7 million people who survived the Middle Passage, there's going to be a point where there is no more data.
Katrina Kiefer says that's what academics wanted to know next, how to trace enslaved Africans back to their home village or tribe. She recalls thinking about that when she was in grad school. If we knew where enslaved Africans came from, their descendants wouldn't have to have a family history that began with slavery.
And I remember sitting in the classroom and thinking, but the answer's right there. It's literally right there on people's faces.
People's faces. That's what Kiefer focused on. During a teenage obsession with dressing goth, Kiefer had developed a fascination with the physical ways people mark themselves to show identity. That led her to see something others didn't when she looked at colonial British records. Their descriptions, in many cases, include drawings of facial scars made by Africans to show their origins and identities, which, after they were enslaved, served to represent where they came from, what village or ethnic group.
Initially, people kind of blinked at me. There was a lot of, well, yes, of course. Oh my God. Oh, we never thought of that. Oh, why didn't we think of that?
Kiefer's now an adjunct professor of history and cultural studies at Canada's Trent University. She's using information in the Sierra Leone archives to develop a computer program that can recognize and catalog the scars.
We're hoping to essentially allow people to feel a greater connection to their ancestors and a greater realization of what their true origins are.
But then again, a scar can only tell you so much.
Any one data point, like a scar, is great. It's really important, but it's only one data point.
That's why the SCAR database is meant to feed into a massive new information hub that's being created by a team led by Dean Rayberger at Michigan State University.
In doing the project, we found a number of institutions and places that are holding data that people didn't even know about.
The project, named Enslaved, will attempt to gather in one place, a website, research about the historic slave trade. Until now, that information's only been in books or museums or scattered in corners of the internet, in different languages, hidden behind broken links. The Enslaved Project is standardizing all that information so it'll be searchable and accessible.
It's the first time that this could happen at this scale for the amount of funds we have.
There are critics who point out that the information being gathered is from the point of view of enslavers and colonialists. But institutions around the world are participating. Harvard's contributing a database drawn from 1,500 biographies edited by Henry Louis Gates Jr. and others. Executive editor Stephen Niven says previously the information was behind a paywall.
The print set cost about $1,200.
The Enslaved Project is supposed to go online next year, and Niven expects the sudden influx of accessible information to revolutionize the way people learn about slavery and teach it.
By using biographies, and by using a large number of biographies, we can tell complex stories, local stories, to get a grip of what is hard history of, you know, the forced migration of, you know, 12 million people and then systematic exploitation for several hundred years in the Americas.
But that's still just scratching the surface. In Sierra Leone, archivist Abu Kuroma says there's a lot of unexplored history left, history that's at risk of being lost. The original documents in the Sierra Leone archives are being kept in buildings with broken windows, frequent power failures, and no air conditioning. The papers crumble easily.
And most of the pages, if you turn them that much, it will break.
Many of the researchers who visit try to help with money for improvements or to digitize the papers. But Kuroma feels like those efforts usually just sputter out.
They will promise to help the archives. They will do their best to help the archives. But it's normally not enough. We want to keep these things alive because other people have volunteered to keep them alive before us.
Kuroma worries that no one will volunteer to care for the archives after him, since archivists in training earn so little. He believes for the true history of slavery to survive and be told, the original evidence must be preserved and protected. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.